in Yeshua sponsored by Linda and Mark Grunbaum and Ruthie and Elias Zastowski, in memory of Reuven Ben Chaim Zal. Last week we spoke about the significance of Zeichel and Mikdash, that the Chachamim instituted several mitzvahs to perform Bizman Hazeh in order to remember the way it was like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. We spoke a little bit about the mitzvah of Lulav and the mitzvah of Korech, and according to some Rishonim, the mitzvah of the Sfiras Omer. And the common denominator between all those types of Zeichel HaMikdash was is that we're trying to mimic what it was like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. We're doing mitzvahs that at one time were deraisa, and the Bizman Hazeh, for whatever technical reason, are Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash, are only going to be mitzvah. But we're trying to basically recreate and reenact what was done in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we find a whole second series of halachas that the Chachamim instituted, which are not so much a Zeichel HaMikdash. Is this the... Was he making these beats?
Yeah?
Hi, how are you?
Is the shul started?
Oh, it started?
Yeah.
So now we come to a whole series of halachos, which are not so much a Zeichel HaMikdash in the sense that we're not recreating, we're not reenacting what the Beis HaMikdash is like. Rather, there are a series of halachos that are performed to Zeichel HaChorban, to Dafka, to demonstrate the avelus, the mourning, the sadness about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So if we look at the topic of tonight's Shia, it sounds like the whole Shia is not going to be L'maisa, because the name of the Shia is Zeich Takonis Zeichum Shalonis Kabul HaHalacha. A whole series of different takonis that at one time were potentially instituted, or at least discussed to be instituted, according to some accepted these takonos at the time of the Churban HaBayis, but for the most part these were not accepted in HaHalacha. The Chazal at that Kufa did not accept these particular unhuggers to become regular part of a regular norm of HaHalacha. But Afa Pichein, as we're going to see, there are certain aspects of these quote-unquote takonos, these unhuggers, these practices that were adopted by some people at the time of the Churban, which have become part of our regular HaHalacha. So we'll have to understand a little bit historically what was going on in terms of at the time when these takonos were almost made, and then L'maisa have to play out this Manazah. So we start out with the first of the Mamakamos, Gemara, and the end of the third parable of the Vasra. The Gemara of Samach and the Day, Tan Rabbanon, Shechar Vabayis Peshni at the time of the Chulim Ma'asheni, Rabu Prushin Yisrael, there were groups of people who wanted to be Pirish, who wanted to separate themselves from certain things in this world. Shalol Lechol Bosav, Shalol Lishtos Yayim. So they accepted upon themselves the custom not to eat meat and not to drink any wine. That was a practice that some people had this man of Churban. So Nidbal and Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua came to discuss with them whether that was appropriate or not. So again, just to start, Rabbi Yeshua was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, of course, was the one who was the head of Klal Yisrael. So he was the Gadol HaDor at the time of the Churban. So you're talking about at the time of his, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and his Talmidim. So Rabbi Yeshua went to speak to these people and he said to them, Amal and Banai, they ma yetem achlun balsam yetem shosun yayin. So you can already tell just from the way he addressed them, Banai, that he was talking to them in a very affectionate way, in a very positive way. He thought that, in theory, what they were doing was a good practice. So he said to them, what are you doing? What is this all about that you stop eating meat and stop drinking wine? So Amalav, he said to him, Neichol Bosa, Shirimena Makrivena, Gaviyah Mizbeach, Ve'achsha Botel. How can we bring ourselves to eat meat, which meat used to be brought as Karbanos on the Mizbeach, and now there's no Mizbeach, there's no Beis HaMikdash. How can we possibly bring ourselves to eat meat? And then they continued, Nishtayai, and how can we possibly drink wine? Shiminaskana Gaviyah Mizbeach, Ve'achsha Botel. There's a mitzvah of Nisachayayin. Certain Karbanos require that wine be brought in addition to the meat. So these people said to Rabbi Yeshua, how can you expect us to eat Bas of Yayin at a time of Churb when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So Amalem, so Rabbi Yeshua continued, and he said, Im Kain, according to your logic, Lechem lo neichol, Shiva batlu aminachas. So he said, okay, so we should stop eating bread, stop eating food from flour, because there are no more kavim minachos. So they responded, Evshibateiris. So they said, we'll stop eating bread, so we'll just eat fruit. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai turned around out there and says, Keiris lo neichol, Shiva bitlu bikurim. So he said, if you follow this to its conclusion, so then you shouldn't eat fruit either. So they said, Evshibateiris acherim. So they said, okay, so we won't eat the fruit that Bikurma brought from. Bikurma only brought from the Shivas Aminim, only brought from the special species that Eretz Yisrael was praised for. So we'll eat oranges, we'll eat bananas, we'll eat other fruit. So Yeshua continued and said, Mayim lo nishta. So he said, well, according to what you're saying, that whatever was brought, whatever was brought, al gavi ha-mizbeach, it's not appropriate for us to partake of Zman HaKorban, so we should stop drinking water. Because on Sukkot once a year we offer the water as also as a carbon, as Nisach HaMayim. So the people were quiet, they didn't have anything to answer anymore. So it's hard enough, they should stop eating meat and drinking wine. They were willing to be mevatel on the bread, mevatel on the fruit, mevatel on the bikurim, but they can't do water. It's ridiculous. So what's that? So Amalehem says, Yeshua said to them, Bonai Bova Amalehem. So he said, let me explain to you what the proper approach should be. So for us not to mourn over Yerushalayim, not to remember the Churban, not to take some kind of a practice to remember the Churban, that's not possible. So you have to do it. It's a decree. You have to remember Yerushalayim. But to make such gezeiras that people shouldn't eat meat and shouldn't drink wine, that's too much. There's a principle in all Dinim Derabanan that when the Chachamim make a gezeira, so the Chachamim have to assess whether the Olam can follow that gezeira or not. And if the Chachamim realize that the people are not up to living up to that gezeira, then they're not supposed to be make that gezeira. In fact, halacha is that even if, let's say Chazal made a mistake, Chazal thought that the tzibur was up to a certain gezeira, and they instituted the gezeira, then they realize after a short amount of time, the people are not really holding with that gezeira. It's too hard. It's gezeira she'ein rov tzibur chol lamad ba. Then the halacha is that the Beis Din is supposed to repeal the gezeira. They're supposed to actually cancel the gezeira. There are two examples that we have of that. One of them we spoke about this in Shul, this past Shabbos. One of them is the halacha pas'akum. We spoke about this in the past, that the Mishnah tells us in the Masechet Avodah Zarah that the Chachamim made a takana, made a gezeira, you're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a goy. The same way you're not allowed to eat food that was cooked by a goy, bishalachum, you're not allowed to eat bread that was baked by a goy. What happened? We don't follow that today. We eat goyish bread as long as the ingredients are kosher. We buy fry office bread. We don't think twice about it. So the Rishonim explained the quote from Rishonim, and the later generations, the Chachamim realized that it's too hard. It's one thing to refrain from food that was cooked by a goy. Okay, so you won't eat meat that was cooked by a goy. You won't eat eggs that were cooked by a goy. You'll survive. Not eat bread that was baked by a goy. In the olden days, not everybody had able to bake their own bread. So if the only baker in town is a goy, how are people going to observe and say, look, it's not shaykh? So it's a gezeir v'shein rov tzibur chol lamad ba. So therefore, the Chachamim have an obligation to be mevatel this takana. We're not supposed to follow this takana anymore. And then you have a similar halacha when it comes to Tekhanis Ezra. Ezra was Masakin, that when a man becomes Tameh, a man becomes a Valkeri, so he's supposed to go to the mikvah. He's not supposed to learn Torah, daven, and make brachas until he goes to the mikvah. So the Gemara explains it in Masechet Brachas. Tosu explains the Gemara that the Olam wasn't able to keep this. In the perfect world, that should be the halacha. But this Tekhanis Chachamim Ezra was not shy. It wasn't partial bro of Yisrael. People weren't able to keep it. So therefore the Beis Din did away with it. They felt that it's better that we shouldn't have this halacha. So go put him whenever you have a din that's ain robot see the chumrah of us. That's not shaykh. People can't do it. So then the Beis Din is supposed to be mevatel that takana. Oh, so that's what Tosfos points out, that when you require a Beis Din Gadol Chochmah V'Minyan, that's only the takana was nifshet the Barov Yisrael. The takana was never really caught on, that even a lower level Beis Din can get rid of it. That's what Tosfos answers the question, how could Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, was Mevatel Takanas Ezra? So Tosfos says, yes, he was great, but he wasn't as great as Ezra. So Tosfos says, when that's low partial of Barov Yisrael, you don't even need that requirement anymore. Anyway.
That was one of the reasons also, like, a couple hundred years ago, when they wanted to
yeah, there's a minimum. It's when the right. That's also in the Jewish and Sibuk Lama. So, a couple of them. So comes the conclusion of the Gemara that Rabbi Yeshua corrected these people and said that their motives were very noble. It was a good idea that they had, but it wasn't practical. And therefore, the halach, of course, that idea was rejected. And halach lemai said, today we eat meat, we drink wine, we don't follow that original suggested gezeira, because it's gezeira she'en rov tzibur chol lamad ba. But Abba Bichain, even though that was a group of Purushim, their suggestion was rejected in terms of normative halacha, the Rishonim point out that the idea was correct, that the motive was really right, and therefore that idea has been accepted to a certain degree. To what degree has that idea been accepted? So it finds itself in the second of the Mamre Kamis, in Arachayim, in Uchus Tishabav, in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Aleph. So in Siman Tov Kuf Nun Aleph, if Tess, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Nogim, there is some of a practice, Shalom Lech Obasa, Vishlo Lishtos Yayin, the Shabbos. So there is some who have a practice not to eat meat and not to drink wine during the entire week, Shavu Shechab or Tisha B'Av. So that principle in halacha, that concept of Shavu Shechab or Tisha B'Av, the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, that's a din. That's a real halacha. That the week that Tisha B'Av falls out, and there's a certain degree of availus, the ikra din the Gemara. And the only example that the Gemara actually gives for Shavu Shechab or Tisha B'Av is the issue of a stop al chabes. You're not allowed to get haircuts, you're not allowed to wash clothes. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch and says there are some who extended this availus to include not eating meat and not drinking wine during the whole week of Tisha B'Av, muti b'chol shliyan, a cake of vinegar if you want. The Yeshiva see it, and then Shulchan Aruch wants a second opinion. There are some who add on the Rosh Chodesh at a Taivis, that they start this practice of Avelos already beginning from Rosh Chodesh. Where did that idea, where did that halachic concept of Rosh Chodesh Av begin? That's also a Gemara. Gemara Mishnah says the Mishnichnas Av b'Ma'atim b'Simcha, from the beginning of Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, there's a concept of minimizing the degree of Simcha. And the Gemara says what that means is you're not supposed to be involved in Binyanim Shel Simcha. You're not supposed to be involved in happy construction, things that are unnecessary construction. Other Binyanim Shel Simcha, you're supposed to be involved in Mecha Chomemcha. You're not supposed to be involved in business and purchasing things which are Dvarim Shel Simcha. So that idea, that time frame of Meresh Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av also exists in the halacha. But again, in terms of the halacha, it only applies to very specific things, like Chomemcha, Binyan Shel Simcha, etc. So we do have these two halachic frameworks. We have these two halachic time frames. Number one called Shavu Shechab Tisha B'Av, which has certain real halachic nefkaminas, the issue of laundry and the haircuts. Then you have a second halachic time frame called we call colloquially today the 9 days. That phrase of 9 days, that phrase doesn't appear anywhere in the Sefer Halacha, but we've adopted that term. So that term of the 9 days from Rosh Chodesh Av that exists in Halacha vis-a-vis Binyan and Mechel Memker. And then you have a third sheet that Shachar calls Vayeshi Rosif Meyidai B'Tamuz. There are some who say that this idea of refraining from Bosaviyah goes all the way back to Shivasa B'Tamuz. But we colloquially call the 3 weeks. Again, the term 3 weeks also doesn't exist in Halacha. It's called the Ben Hametzarim in the Poskim, but in America we call it today the 3 weeks. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes all three different permutations of this minhag of refraining from Basav Yayin, either Shavu Shechab or Tisha B'Av, or from Rosh Chodesh Av, or all the way back from Shavu Shechab. Of course, we're familiar with that minhag. The minhag in the Ashkenazi communities today is the middle minhag, beginning from Rosh Chodesh Av. So what is this minhag all about? This idea of refraining from Basav Yayin that we've adopted during the 9 days, what's it based on? So one would think that this is just an expression of Avelos, that this is the same way that we're Misabel, that we begin the certain types of Avelos, which are expressions of Avelus. So Basav Yayin is also an expression of Avelus. The only problem is that's not true. That Basav Yayin is not an expression of Avelus. Basav Yayin is never associated with Avelus in Halacha. There's a little bit of a misconception. There's some people who think, you know, that an Avel during Shiva is not allowed to eat meat. That's absolutely not true. An Avel is permitted to eat meat, and Onan is not permitted to eat meat for a different reason. The Gemara says in the beginning of the third paragraph, it says, Brachas, that when a person's relative passes away, until the Kura, he has the status of Mishamesa Mutalafanov. We call him today an Onan. That's also not the correct halachic term. We have three not correct halachic terms in the last 5 minutes. Onan is also not a correct halachic term. The term Onan really means, in terms of Chavos Karbanos, like the Parsha Shmini, when a person's relative dies, so that day, until the end of the day, or perhaps even including the night time, whether or not the Kavura took place, the person has the status of an Onen, and he's not permitted to eat Karbanos, like the Nadav and Avihu. When Nadav and Avihu died, so Aaron and his sons, there was an Isra of Achilles Karchi, the Chati Chata Seyom, Hayita B'nei Hashem. That's the halachic term Onen. The term that we use today is really the correct halachic term is Misha Mesa Mutalafanov. The term Onay never appears in Chazal as referring to what we call today an Onay between the Misa and the Kvura, the fact that he's not allowed to do mitzvahs and that's what Abbas of the Yayin, etc. But Misha Mesa Mutalafanov is a long term, it's 4 words. So the Rav said that's what people thought it's called an Onay. It doesn't really mean, it's not really correct, but people call it Onay, it's just for the Kitanim, it's to call it an Onay. So the term of an Onay, the halachas of an Onay, are that he's not permitted to Abbas of the Yayin, and that's not because he's sad, not because of Avelus, that's because he's supposed to be involved in the Kura. So he's going to sit down and have a fleshing meal, he's going to sit down and have a party, sit down and have wine, he's going to get drunk, he's going to forget to take care of the Kura. So it's Shem Yim Shech Libra, the boss of the Yayin, there's no Duruch of Avelus, Haraya. After the Kura is over, it's Mutlach Hatchila for him to have boss of the Yayin. There, in fact, there's one opinion in Rishayim that the Sudas of Ra is not supposed to have wine. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, through Yayin Le'oibe, through Sheikh Le'oibe, Yayin Le'oibe, Nafesh, that wine, will help console the person a little bit. Not chalila supposed to get drunk, but if he takes a little bit of wine, so that'll help him a little bit in terms of nicham aveilim. So there's one opinion we show that Yidavka is supposed to give wine to an avil. So there's no issur for an avil to have wine. So in Cain, where did this benachum come from? That we don't have wine, we don't have basar during 9 days, during the 3 weeks, or shemesh chalbatishim of. If it's not really aveilus, what's it based on? So some of the rishonim say that it's based on this gemara in Maseches Bava Basra, that really that original group of people who accepted upon themselves to refrain from basar v'yayin all year long were right. That was what the halacha really should have been. But never engaging zeila tibushichol elikim rov tibuchol malu. You can't live up to it. So what are you going to do? But even though we can't live up to it the entire year, we can live up to it for certain times of the year. It means a little bit chashit a week before Tisha B'av, from Rosh Chodesh Av, according to some, from the 9 to 3 weeks, the period immediately leading up to Tisha B'av, everybody can live up to that higher standard of Zeichel Chorban. So it's inappropriate for us to have boss of a Yayin. It's not our Tavelus. It's our Zeichel Chorban. It's our Zeichel Mikdash. That we, how can we bring ourselves to have boss of a Yayin, knowing that there's no boss of a Yayin, there's Manazel on the Mizbech. So it could be that this minug, these quasi minhagim that we have today, in terms of the 3 weeks of the 9 days, which Chav Tishmav, whatever they are, these will be basar v'yayin, I'm a throwback to that sugya in Maseches Bava Basra. So that seems to also be reflected, this idea that sometimes you have a gezeira that Chazal really wanted to make. Really the appropriate thing would have been to make gezeira X, but we can't, the hands are tied. Let's say we gave the two examples before, the example of Pasachim. So we really would have wanted to ask the Pasachim. That's the right thing to do. The highest standards, we were afraid for Bishul Akum because we're afraid that if we get too social with the Goyims, this may lead to other inappropriate things. So we make Bishul Akum a halacha. We should make Pas Akum as well, but never can handle the time. So we have a minhag that we refrain from Pas Akum during the Seder to make Shuvah. So where did that minhag come from? Some of us will know where all of a sudden it says make Shuvah. So everyone's mocked, but nobody eats Pas Akum. What's that all about? So some suggest that it's based on the same idea that really we should refrain from Pas Akum all year long. But we can't, it's too hard. It's sometime during the Seris Mitzvah are at a little bit of a higher level. We get a little bit more ruchnius, a little bit less gashmius, a little bit less food, so we can keep what's the highest standard of halacha. Well, that's what some achrayim say. It's the same story when it comes to Tekanas Ezra, that we really should keep Tekanas Ezra all year long. That's the proper thing. Every time a person becomes tamei, the man should go to the mikveh right away. Can't be. It's too hard. The Gemara says that let him be a little tyra because people weren't making to the mikveh on time, so they weren't going to learn all day. And the Gemara says it would be a little periferivia. People didn't want to have relations. They're afraid they're going to become tamei. They won't be able to go to the shiur the next day. The Gemara says that people weren't living up to it. Not in the perfect world, so people should keep the Kodesh Ezra. So 353 days a year, we don't live in a perfect world. One day a year, we try to be perfect. But one day a year is Yom Kippur. So that's where the Minhag Yisrael developed, that everyone, all the men go to the mikveh of Yom Kippur. Even people who are not but in Tekanas Ezra all year long, everybody goes to the mikveh of Yom Kippur. So my high. So it's the same story that we have a Tekana, and the Tekana really should have been observed all year long, but we can't. Never. We don't live up to it. So we pick certain times during the course of the year when we're able to raise our standards a little bit. So here we raise our standards vis-a-vis the Churban. We raise our standards before Tisha B'av. That's the most appropriate time to raise our standards. Pasachim, we raise it for the whole week of Maseches Metshuva, and Tefillas Ezra, we raise it at least for one day of the year, at least for Yom Kippur. So even though the original practice is no doesn't really apply this matter there, but there is a little bit of a remnant of it even for us. So comes the Gemara and continues in the third of the Mamakamas in Bava Basra Samach Hamadeis. Starts off with a similar story that we saw before. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Yom Shechar Beis Hamikdash Dinu Shenigzel Atzmenish Lelechol Basar Lelishtas Yayin. It means we really should have instituted this takana not to eat meat and not to drink wine. Elish Ein Goz Gizel Atzibel Akim Rav Tzibuchol Mavadba. And now Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha continues. From Yom Shepash the Malchus HaRasha Shegozeres Aleinu Gizeres Ros Vekashos, that since the Malchus HaRasha, the Roman government, has been decreeing for us terrible, terrible persecution post the Churban, and they don't let us observe the mitzvahs, and they don't let us observe when a Jewish boy is born, they don't let us fulfill the mitzvah of Shavu HaBein in the Bris Mila, the celebration of the end of the week for the son, i.e. they don't let us observe a Bris Mila, the Amrullah, the Yeshua HaBein. It's Machlek is a Rishonim, what in the world does that term mean? So some say it means Pidgin HaBein, like Yeshua. Yeshua is a synonym for Pidgin, for redemption, for salvation. So some say it refers to Pidgin HaBein. And some say it refers to Shalom Zocher. Some say there's some Achmarim right that refers to the minhag Yisrael that we have of having a Shalom Zocher. So dinu shenigzar alatzmeinu shlolisa ish v'holi banim. So we see that even Nebuchadnezzar, when the Jewish babies are born, so the goyim don't let us raise them properly. They don't let us give bris milas, pejaben, Shalom Zocher, whatever the pshat Gemara is. They don't let us raise our children in the Torah mitzvahs. So says the Rishon Ben Elisha, dinu shenigzar alatzmeinu shlolisa ish v'holi banim. So really, the equal thing, we should stop having children. Everyone should stop getting married. People should stop having children. Because if we can't have children, we're going to be, we'll get prismilas. We can't have children, we're going to be from. We can't have children, we're going to raise the Torah. So why should we have the children for? The nymph is our shalad avinu kolam elok. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says such a startling statement. Let the descendants of Avraham Avinu will disappear by themselves. Rather than us bring children to the world who can't observe mitzvahs, better they shouldn't be. Ella says to Rishon ben Elisha, we didn't do this. We didn't insist that people do this. Ella hanach lem Yisrael, mutav shiyoshegin v'ayu mezidin. That's the last time the Rebbe of Asher. So comes Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha and says that the Ikaron, we really should have taken that drastic approach of never getting married, never having children anymore, but you can't tell people that. You can tell people that. Not going to listen anyway. So mutav shiyoshegin v'ayu mezidin. So I don't want to say it publicly, no one should misquote me on the tape. It's a b'diavad to get married. That's what the Gemara sounds like. That means it's a b'diavad because when such a shas tzara, because of such persecution, because everyone's dying, everyone's being, no one's able to feed their tzitz. So mutash yishagir yayim mezidin is the matter for us to get married to have children. Very, very startling statement of Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. So before we understand what, if any, ramifications does this have l'maisa for us, so the first question is, what exactly did he mean? What was Rabbi Shmuel talking about? Rabbi Shmuel really meant what he said, that we shouldn't have any children? That was the plan? That was Rabbi Shmuel? Again, Rabbi Shmuel never Chalila actually implemented it, but he's saying, you know, he's bemoaning Klal Yisrael's fate, so depressed, so down. We should understand what Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was the Kohen Gadol right before the time of the Korban. The famous Gemara Maseches Brachos, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, Pamachas Nechnasti, Lefnai Lefnim, the famous thing. Abram Fried made that Gemara famous. Abram Fried, no one remembers that Gemara in the first Mechel Brachos. But Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha describes how he went Lefnai Lefnim, Hopkins does mention Yom Kippur. He's describing what it was like when he went to the Kaddish HaKadosh in Yom Kippur, the sixth parish, Achrei Mois, and he says that we saw the Shechina, and he begged the Kodesh Baruch Hu to have Rachmanis and Klal Yisrael. So again, it doesn't say the Farish of the Gemara, but my guess is that was the last Yom Kippur before the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. That Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha saying, I went in Lahatik at the night with him, and this was my last Bakosha, the very last Yom Kippur, the last Kohen Gadol ever to go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. The last words were that Kodesh Baruch Hu, V'yich Pesher Rachamechas Kafcha, Yagol Rachamecha Midasecha, etc. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he saw the Beis Mikdash, and then he saw Pechorbana, and he throws his hands up and he says, we shouldn't get married, we shouldn't have any children. So comes Tosfos and asks Kasha on Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, did he really mean it? Well, nice, he never said it. At the end of the day, it was never possible, it was never implemented. But was it even a havelin, was it even a wildest dream, such an idea? So asks Tosfos, the fourth of the Ramakomis, in the Rabbasa, the Samach of the Beis, Dinush Nigzo, Atzmenish, Logis, Sanoshim, Tema, Haksipurvo. He says, what do you mean we should not get married, not have children? What? It's not a mitzvah in the Torah. It's the first mitzvah in the Torah. So a Beis has a right to uproot a mitzvah in the Torah. What do you mean? What kind of story is that? That in theory, in the perfect world, not the perfect world, the imperfect world, the post-Khurban, but look, it's clear that we would be reacting to the Khurban properly, so we would have stopped having children. So what do you mean stop having children? There's a mitzvah that I have children. So says Taisus, V'shem al osin chikvar kimu pir v'rivik omar. Maybe all Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha meant to say was, obviously we have to have children. Let's check, let's have children. Of course you have to have children. But how many children do you have to have? So v'haynu z'arishlav v'minu kolosh l'yol el abeinu bas. So the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos, technically speaking, the mitzvah deraisa puravu is to have one boy and to have one girl. So anything above and beyond that is wonderful. It's an enhancement of the mitzvah. We'll see in a moment the Gemara in Yevamos, but that's not the chiyuv. The chiyuv mitzvah, the absolute chiyuv deraisa, is to have a boy and a girl. So says Taisus, Mistamasor Bishmol Ben Elisha meant. He could never possibly dreamt of telling people not to have any children at all. That would be a violation of the first mitzvah in the Torah. Mistam, all he meant was is that we should have a boy and a girl, and that's it. That's Taisa's suggestion. The Das, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha's potential takana would have been. So others question, others say that no, that we have to take the Gemara Kapshito, that Rabbi Shlomo and Elisha was advocating, at least theoretically, to stop having children altogether. Either is mitzvah peruvu. So we have a rule that yesh koach lechachamim lach adav min haTorah b'shev al pasa, that the chacham have the ability to tell us not to follow mitzvah Torah as long as they're telling us passively not to follow mitzvah. Let's say the greatest beis din will get up today and tell everyone has to drive the cars on Shabbos. You know, I listen to them. They have no right to say that. A beis din has no right to tell you to violate a din derais. A beis din is going to tell you everyone should eat chazer today. You have no right to listen to them. But a beis din doesn't have the authority to tell you to violate a mitzvah in this area of the Torah. But what if the beis din tells you don't put on tefillin today? So then you have to listen to them. And you're talking, not allowed to put on tefillin. Haraya, last day of Yom Tov, the Sheni Shagol is. So according to the Torah, technically speaking, you have to put on tefillin. It's not Torah. It doesn't have to be just a yom. And the Chacham is talking, don't put on tefillin today. So Yesh Kav Yecham Lachadav Netzar B'Shev Al Tase. Comes Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. The Torah says blow shofar. The Chacham say don't blow shofar. And the Halacha is you have to listen to them. And if a person doesn't listen to them, it's an aveira. It's not a mitzvah. So come some Acharim and say that's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha meant, that we should have made a takana not to fulfill Peruvu, that Yesh Kav Yecham to tell you passively to sit back and not to get married, not to have any children. So others suggest the reason why Tysus didn't want to say this, why didn't Tysus realize that? Tysus got the money from us. So why didn't Tysus say that? So the answer is, the Taz says that the Beis Din only has the right to partially tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah. Because let's say Beis Din will get up today and say, from here on in, we don't want any Jew to ever put on tefillin. For the rest of history, no Jew should put on tefillin. So the Taz says, they're not allowed to say that. You don't listen to them, they say that. Means they could tell you, don't put on tefillin on Achron Shel Pesach. They could tell you, don't blow shofar and Lashana falls on in Shabbos. But if the Beis Din will say, we want to abolish the mitzvah of Kiyas Shofar, that they have no right to do. We want to abolish the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, they have no right to do. They can pick every 4 or 5 years when Sukkot's first day, Sukkot falls on in Shabbos, they can tell you not to do the mitzvah. But to take an eraser and to cut out a mitzvah in the Torah, no Beis Din in the world has the craft to do that, even in Shev Al Tasa. That's what some say, that's what Tysus was so bothered, that how you talking, it can't be, what's Shach to say such a thing that we should stop having children entirely? That would be an outright Akira's Dovim in the Torah, even in the realm of Shev Al Tasa, and that wasn't even in the picture altogether. So what, according to Tosus Pshat, what was it Rishon Ben Elisha alluding to? That people should just have a boy and a girl and stop having more children than that. So Lamaisa, we don't do that. Obviously we don't do this, because that takana that Rishon Ben Elisha was suggesting was never made. He himself said we're not going to make the takana. So what does the halacha say this man? That's the fifth of the Ramakamos. So it's the Gemara Yivamos, that's the days and the days. I put the whole sugya on because it's relevant a little bit for Shvius Omer as well. So the Gemara says the sign of Yeshua Omer Nasa Adam Isha V'Yalduso Yisa Isha V'Zekrusa. It's interesting, it should be Yeshua. The same Rabbi Yeshua from the beginning. He was the one who told the people after the Churban that keep the meat and keep the wine and go back to normal life. So Rabbi Yeshua tells us here also that if a person has a child, a person gets married when he's younger, and then if his wife passed away, she should get married again. You see, she's a Knuso. How you love Banim Bialduso, you love Banim is a Knuso. If he had children when he was younger, he should try to have more children when he's older as well. Shenema, but Bok is Razarecha, but Erva Tanach Yedecha, Ke'inchi Yedeh, Eze Yichshehu, Ozeh, Ozeh, Vimshnem, Gecha Toivim. So this is the mitzvah, what's called the La'erev, La'erva Tanach Yedecha. But Rabbi Yeshua tells us, the Gemara says, "Beferish in Yevamos Vitasik Rabbi Yeshua, that although min haTorah the mitzvah peruvu is a boy and a girl, there's a mitzvah that they're about to have more children. More children one has is a greater fulfillment of the mitzvah of Erev Tanach Yedecha." So according to Tosfos, that's what the Gemara was chapping on. That mitzvah of Erev Tanach Yedecha, which is not a real mitzvah min haTorah, it's only a mitzvah b'drabanan. It's that mitzvah that the Chachamim were potentially they were considering to abolish, and Baruch Hashem they didn't abolish that either. They left that mitzvah b'makoma, and therefore we today have the mitzvah. So we have the mitzvah peruvu, we have the additional mitzvah of Erev as well. So it's interesting, just as an aside, the Gemara continues about this mitzvah of Erev. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says that it applies not just to biological children, it applies to Talmidim as well. Lama Torah b'Yalduso, Yuma Torah b'Zekruso. If a person learned Torah when he was young, he should continue to learn Torah when he gets older. Haylo Talmidim b'Yalduso, Yuma Talmidim b'Zekruso. If he had Talmidim when he was younger, he shouldn't think he was ready yet to finish his teaching. He should try to have Talmidim when he gets older as well. Rather than And it's in this Gemara that the Gemara tells the background of the Sefer. So Omer, the Avelos of Sefer, Omru, Shneimus, Elav Zugim, Tamidim, Oilam, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva himself personally had the 12,000 pairs of Tamidim. The Gavas had Antiphras, Makula, Mesa, Perech Echad, Rabbi Shalom, Noah, Kavaz, Elazeph. Of course, the story of Sefira, that they all died at one period in time because they weren't respectful to one another. The world was like desolate. There was a lack of Torah. So all the Tamidim Rabbi Akiva had died until Rabbi Akiva had found more Tamidim in his later years. Who were the new Tamidim? So these are the younger Tamidim. These are the second career of Rabbi Akiva's Tamidim. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. The Heim Heim Emidu Torah. So comes the Gemara and says, the first 24,000 Tamidim, we don't know who they were. We have Kimat nothing from them. One or two Gemara's here in their quotes, one of the earlier Tamidim of Rabbi Akiva. But imagine a world without Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar. So we wouldn't have a Tosh up there. We wouldn't be standing here giving a Shia today. We wouldn't have had a Mishnah. We wouldn't have a Gemara. We wouldn't have anything this month. So the Gemara is highlighting the fact that even though a person had children who was younger, and they had Tamidim who was younger, she continued to have as many as the Rabbi Shalom granted. So Hei Meir Midu Torah, Osa Shia, Tana Kula Meisim, Pesach, and Atzeres. That's what the Gemara says, that this tragedy happened at the time of Sfira, and then the Gemara continues what the nature of the death was, etc. And off the top a little bit, but this was the Sfira Omer that mentioned the Sugya. So Kopana, what do you see from this Sugya? That even though in theory Rabbi Yeshua was advocating, sorry, Rabbi Yeshua ben Elisha was advocating not having additional children, Bizman HaChorban, but the Gemara frowns upon that. The Gemara rejects it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha himself rejected it, and we say, forget, the opposite is true, that we follow Rabbi Akiva's model. Rabbi Akiva was the ultimate Peshat HaChorban. Rabbi Akiva was one of the Sarah Hugin Malchus, and Rabbi Akiva understood that just because one group of Tamidim weren't successful, I can't get some more Tamidim. And a person has to have that attitude when it comes to children and Tamidim and whatever ability that a person has. So I call upon this Gemara about the possibility that was raised, maybe not getting married, not having children post-Khorban. So this was rejected. Was it totally and completely rejected? Is there any remnant of that suggestion for us, the halacha? So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch in the 6th of the Maimonides in Ebn Ezer in Sibin Aleph, Siv Gimel. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, Mitzvah kol adam she'isa isha ben yedim ben yedches v'machdem isa ben yedim mitzvah mufchar, about the age when a person should get married. According to Chazal, getting married at 18. Again, we're not discussing the details of how this plays out. L'maisa b'zman hazeh, but v'kol ben yedim lo yisa, because just before 13 for sure you shouldn't get married. V'shum inim l'yavim yasev shana b'lo isha, that a person for sure should not wait more than past 20 under normal circumstances. V'misha over lo chav shana b'en erot elisa, if it's past, a man is past 20, a boy is past 20, and he is not interested in getting married, Beizin Kaivinas Alisha, Lisa Delikaim, it's privilege. So Beizin is supposed to enforce this mitzvah the same way Beizin enforces other mitzvahs. And then we have certain kulas, we have Moshe B'Torah V'Torah, a person's involved in learning, or Mishyari Lisa Isha Kadesh Lita from Mizona, he's Fatim in the Torah, Mutlis Acher, then he's permitted to delay a little bit. Again, we're not learning the Sugya right now, privilege, until how long he's permitted to delay, what the parameters of that are. But the basic Allah is the Chi of Deraisa Puravu, and therefore Beizin is supposed to try to enforce it like they enforce other mitzvahs as well. So comes to the Rambam and says, "Ubizman hazeh nagu shlo lachot alzeh." That we have a practice, the Rambam says, that we may encourage people to get married, but we don't actually force people to get married. Let's say you have a person who has not yet had children, and he wants to marry a woman who's not going to be able to have children. He wants to marry an older woman who's already past the point of having children. So midina de gemara, he's not allowed to do that. Midina de gemara was supposed to stop him because he's, it's like a guy saying, I don't want to put him through. I don't want to eat matzah. I don't want to blow a shofar. So I don't want to do peri berivya. So we're not supposed to let him do that. So the Rambam writes that you want a kohen or a zaken or a ketan, he wants to marry someone who's not going to have children. Mishum shechoshik ba or mishum mamon shalah. So the Rambam under his breath says different reasons that may be prompting him to do this. We'll leave it out also for now. Abba bishem edinoy al b'chusbo. Even though we really should stop him, lo nagu mikamad doyres ledakti din hazivugim. The Rambam says already for many generations we have a practice that we don't make machos about it. We're not going on it. Then the Rambam continues, and the last one says, "Avash lo tiyasura lo," assuming that she's not a surah. The person, a kohen, wants to marry grusha, so of course we have to be meichim. We're able to, but assuming that there's not an issa per se, it's just that he's going to cause himself to be about the pur rivya. So we're not going to make a fuss. We're not going to be meichim now. So the question is, where did this minhag come from? The Rambam is mikamadoyrus. There are many generations such a minhag exists. Who started it? What's it based on? If the din is that kaitan asashir marosa, and he's the one. If we don't have the power to force, we don't have the power to force. But Ramos sounds like we have the authority. We could force the person, and we don't. So why not? So the as Kalim point out, according to Rav and the Rishonim, one of the suggestions that's given as to where this minhag, this somewhat strange minhag of the Ramah came from, was based on the sugya that we just learned. That Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha opened up the possibility for us that post Korban, really we shouldn't be having children. We shouldn't get married. We shouldn't have any children. So again, the halacha was rejected, and halacha in Gezin Gezer Latzibu, and halacha we passed in like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, and you have to have Peruvu, and you have to have more children, or whatever you can. That's the halacha. But there was a certain kernel of truth to what Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha said. There was a certain svara that he had. So here you have this guy, he doesn't want to get married. So you have an Alta Bacher, he doesn't want to get married. So he says, Kimri, like Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha, do me something. I hold it, Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha. I'm so from, I'm such a Zeich L'Churban, I'm such a believer in Zeich L'Churban, I want to do what Rabbi Yishmael ben Elisha was contemplating, advocating for all of Klal Yisrael. So you can't be crazy for me to get married. I'm not so off base. If a guy says, I don't want to put on tefillin, so what do you don't want to put on tefillin? Everyone says they're put on film. The Torah says they're put on film. Nobody disagrees. But when it comes to having children, there's man of death. There was a psasmara, there was a kvetch, there was a something. So we don't pass it like that sheep, and we don't accept it. Even if Shulman Elisha backed out, but since there's a little bit of something, a kernel of truth to what the person is saying, no gushin olacha fozeh. Therefore, the minig became not the force. That's what some suggest, but the source of this minig of the Rambam is. So many, many times he had serious reservations with this minig of the Rambam. Tachas, we don't accept Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. That's the bottom line. Number one. Number two, even if you look at the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha didn't say that at the time of the Churban they wanted to stop having children. At the time of the Churban they wanted to stop eating meat and drinking wine. It was when the Gezeris came, when the decrees were, they wouldn't let the kids have bris in, they wouldn't let the kids have ben, and they weren't letting us raise Jewish children. So then Tachas, there was a svara that maybe we shouldn't get married. But so the other Acharim asked the Rava, he said, that's the reason. It's based on Rishon ben Elisha. It goes time and place. It turns out if Taka there never such gezeiros that they're not letting us raise Jewish children. So then Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha could be discussed. Whether we follow him or not, follow a different story. But just because you're in Churban, you're in Golos, you're living in Krakow in the 1500s, it's not great. But my nice having bris milas, my nice Rama was able to do bris milas on his kids. People were able to have bris milas, they were able to pitch their bench. No one stopped in Shom's office. So we're able to continue to have Jewish children. We haven't said any kids to yeshiva. So to have the attitude that this man is there, I'm such a tzaddik, I hold it to Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. That's the next song. You hold it to Rabbi Shmuel. Even Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha never Khalil would have said such a thing, this man is there, this man is there. That's what others say. And others say, how can you follow this shita? How could that be the justification for the minhag? Tosafot themselves said that even Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha didn't want to do away with getting married altogether. That's impossible to do away with getting married and having children. All Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was suggesting was not to have more than the bare minimum, not to have more than a boy and a girl. But to say that the person not to do Peruvu, but Tamrei, even Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, his wildest dreams didn't suggest that. So many, many have serious reservations with this reason of the Rambam. Maybe there are other reasons for the Rambam. Okay, so one of the things is Peruvu, maybe we'll get back to some another time, another place. But in terms of the Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha part, the part of Zeich al-Churban, the response to Churban, not to have children, not to get married, not to have children, so basically it's not really been accepted, that we don't accept this, and therefore, of course, we pass the Rambam, that's for Kevin. We encourage people to get married. We want people to get married. So my wife thought, we encourage people to get married. We encourage people to get married, encourage people to have children. That's fakir. That's the greatest hemshed of Christ that we can have. We follow Rabbi Akiva's model that Hayyul Obi will do so, Yul Obi Ziknu so, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us to be Zarek and have as many children. That's fakir. That's the proper response rather than the response that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was suggesting, at least as a half of me. Again, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha himself also never really advocated it. So, part of you see that at the time of the Churban there were certain practices that were suggested that would have altered Klai so greatly. Imagine a world that at least the Kanas would have been made. There would have been no boss, there would have been no Yai, there would have been no people. It wouldn't exist, we wouldn't be sitting here. So all those suggestions, those desperate suggestions that were made, Lamaisa were rejected by the Rabbi Chachamim, by the Rabbi Yeshua's in the time, and by the Rabbi Akiva's in the time, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha himself in his time. So they came to the conclusion that those approaches, although maybe in our heart we feel the tremendous Churban, which we should feel the terrible despair of the Churban, but the proper halakhic response is not the no bas v'yayin and not to get married. The proper response is the 9 days, 3 weeks, the Tisha B'Av, being the Zeich L'Churban, the Zeich L'Mikdash, and hopefully that's cool. So we'll call him Misavu Yishalayim, so we'll be Zeich and Rabbis.